Everything changed. Boy, what a powerful message. What a powerful reminder. Good morning, everybody. It is so good to see you here on Easter Sunday. Look at somebody near you right now and say, you are beautiful. Just right now, you are beautiful. There you go. You are beautiful. Yeah, you are beautiful. One little piece of housekeeping for you today. If you gave a flower in memory or honor of someone, they're all beautifully decorating the front of our worship center. If you gave one of those, feel free when the service is over to take that with you. If you did not give a flower in memory or honor of someone, don't take a flower, okay? Don't do that. That would be wrong. But no, make sure you take those with you when you leave today and bless your home or your loved ones with that. We have followed here for 25 years a tradition that is a familiar one in the Eastern Orthodox Church there in Eastern Europe and places east of that on Easter morning, Easter day, when Christians greet each other, whether it's at church or on the sidewalk or in the store, wherever they are, when they greet someone, they greet them with a, "He is risen," and the echo is, "He is risen indeed. He is risen. He is risen indeed." And we've been practicing that here at Fairmount for 25 years. And so we continue that in all of our worship services today. He is risen. He is risen. There are no greater words that have ever been said in all of the history of the world. It's an amazing day. The spring break was this past week, and when you're married to a teacher, you take spring break for vacation. And so Betsy always has exciting travels in mind for us. So this year's exciting travel was to South Florida. And we had a great time. I tell people we saw two national parks, two amusement parks, and two ballparks. And so we did a lot of great stuff. Saw two Langleys, for those of you who remember Mike and Tina. They say hello to all of you. And we saw two Halls. Jerry and Teresa, and they all say hi to you as well. And I told them they got to move back here. We miss them too much, and so they need to come home. But they probably won't because it's Florida. Anyway, so it was great, and we did a lot of fun stuff, a lot of cool stuff, And I went on the way back. You know, I'm nostalgic. You know, kind of like the four riding in the car after a baseball game. I'm always thinking about, well, what I really enjoy. What would I do differently if we did it again? You know, all that stuff. And I just kept reflecting on just some of the amazing things that our last week on vacation entailed. We got in a plane on one morning at I don't know, 9, 10 o'clock, whatever. And then an hour and a half later, we're in Orlando. I mean, that's amazing to me. You know, we were in Richmond, and then, I mean, what does that take? 13 hours to drive to Orlando, a couple days for us old people. But an hour and a half later, we were in Orlando. That's amazing to me. We can travel anywhere we want in this country. That to me is absolutely amazing. We toured the Everglades. We're on an airboat. That was pretty awesome. Everglades is the only place on the planet where both alligators and crocodiles live in the same habitat, which is kind of creepy, but it's also really amazing. You know what I'm saying? And we were on an airboat. Look, there's an alligator. Ah, you know, but it was amazing to see God's creatures and right up close and personal. We did not take bug spray. I don't even know if you could take bug spray. And so we were a little alarmed. So we got to our first stop, Daytona, I think. And we bought some bug spray. We did not use it once. We didn't see a single bug in Florida the whole time. That's amazing. That's amazing. Didn't see us. Didn't need it. We actually took it back to Walmart and got our money back. It was wonderful. We went to a Tampa Bay Rays baseball game and paid $7.50 for a corn dog. That's amazing. I'm not proud of that fact, but that is amazing. $15 for two of those suckers. Anyway, but it was amazing. But all of that amazing stuff pales in comparison to today. To be more specifically, what we celebrate today. The resurrection of Jesus still amazes us 2,000 years after it happened. As Bill shared with us just a little bit ago, when you take those four Gospels, they all come from different perspectives. They all give us a different little piece of the resurrection of Easter Sunday morning. And I think it's pretty cool. When you combine all of those pictures together, you see this amazing event that happens there in the burial plot of Joseph of Arimathea. Someone sent me a funny meme this past week that I got a kick out of. You probably saw it on social media. I was glad they sent it to me, though. It depicted a conversation between Joseph of Arimathea and Pontius Pilate when Joseph came to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. The meme, Pilate says, "Joseph, I don't understand. You're one of the richest men in the region, and you spent a small fortune on a new tomb for you and your family, and you want to give it to this man, Jesus?" To which Joseph replied, "It's okay. It's just for the weekend." Oh, yeah. I love that. I loved it. I'm sorry you didn't. I'm sorry. I thought it was funny. Pray for our friend. Now, we could have read any of the gospel accounts. I'm going to read to you from Matthew. I mean, it could have really been any of them, but I'm going to read for you from Matthew. Matthew says this. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Everybody say, amazing. Amazing. Since the beginning of 2023, our preaching team has been focusing our messages on Sunday morning on change, revival, refreshment, re-engagement, reinvigoration, any re-word you can probably come up with. The pandemic brought with it a tremendous amount of uncertainty and hesitation and, on some people's case, fear. And those things led to what I refer to as a spiritual malaise amongst many Christians and in many churches. In January, our church said, "Not here. Not here." And we've been focusing on the Holy Spirit and the change that He brings to our lives, the revival that He brings to Christians and that He brings to the church. If you don't have God's Spirit in you, the Bible promises that Spirit when you confess your faith in Jesus and are baptized into Him, a cleansed, empty vessel ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit. At our 9 o'clock service today, two young ladies did that exact thing. They confessed their faith, they were baptized in Him, and right here in this room, the Holy Spirit came to dwell in their lives. Amazing. If you do have God's Spirit in you, then you know that we need to be closely attuned to that Spirit's leadership, that Spirit's guidance every single day of our lives. There's not a single day in which we don't need the Spirit. Today here on Resurrection Sunday, we want to focus on the forever change that God wants to bring into every one of our lives. It's the change that the Holy Spirit brings. It's the Holy Spirit's change that should never in our lives be temporary. The revival that the Holy Spirit brings should never be occasional. Forever change touches our lives, it alters our lives, and it reshapes our lives forever. We see that no more vividly than in the Garden of the Empty Tomb, that amazing place, that amazing moment in time when the history of the world changed forever. And it is truly amazing. So we're going to note these amazing facts today. We're going to pull out four amazing facts, really briefly, each one of them. But all of them point to the forever change that God wants to work in your life and in my life. The number one amazing fact is that a dead man rose from the grave. Now, that's obviously the most important one of all. It's the biggie. It's the most important. It's the one I typically would save for last. But how do we do that on Easter? We have to start with that. I mean, it's the best one. It's the most obvious one. And it's where we start. When we look at all of the Bible from, you know, Genesis all the way to Revelation, only two people are mentioned in Scripture that never died. Enoch and Elijah were just, God just took them up to heaven with him. They'd never experienced death. They just went to heaven. All right. Only two people I know of in the history of the world that never died. Now, you come to the Gospels, you know, millions, billions of people have died between Genesis and between, you know, Jesus, whatever. Jesus rose people from the dead miraculously. We have the accounts of three such miracles in the Gospels. But every one of those people, whether it was three or a whole lot more, every one of them that he rose from the dead one day died again. Okay? Only one person, Jesus of Nazareth, died, was buried, rose from the grave, and never died again. I'll say it again. Amazing. Death is death. Without miraculous intervention, it's final. It's over. You know, here it's 6 days prior to April 15th. We're reminded again of Ben Franklin's, you know, wonderful wisdom when he said that in life there are only two things that are certain. What are they? Death and taxes. The only two things that are certain are death and taxes. I kind of think they're synonymous. But anyway, taxes, of course, can be really frustrating, right? I mean, you don't need an amen. I know it's right. Taxes can be frustrating. But the finality of death can seem so hopeless. In absorbing all that is the resurrection of Jesus, we are reminded that even when all seems hopeless, he can change us. The disciples were scattered in fear. The women came to the tomb to mourn a dead friend. The hope of the ages, their awaited Messiah, the one who was going to save them and their nation, was gone. But then came Sunday. And the one who can create something from nothing, the one who can part the seas, the one who can knock down the walls of Jericho, the one who can bring dry bones to life, the one who can walk on water, that one walked out of his tomb alive, hopeless no more. Perhaps there is hopelessness in your life today. Perhaps there is a dire diagnosis. Perhaps there is a decline into dementia. Job uncertainty. Relationship uncertainty. Crippling debt. A crippling addiction. Crippling sin. He can change you. He may not take the diagnosis away, but he can give you strength to face it. He may not heal a broken relationship, but he can surround you with his unwavering presence. He may not turn your poverty into wealth, but he can provide you the resources to meet your needs. He came out of a cold, dark, sealed tomb. He can change you. He can change us. Amazing fact number two. An angel rolled the stone away. Did you notice that? Matthew said there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb rolled back the stone and sat on it. So at some point prior to that, Jesus had left the building, right? At some point prior to that, Jesus had vacated the premises. Now, perhaps he had rolled the stone himself and then out of courtesy rolled it back as he left. Maybe. Or maybe an angel came down at the stroke after midnight on that third day, 12:01, whatever it was. And maybe an angel came down, here, Jesus, come on out now, and then rolled it back. Maybe. I doubt it. Jesus, invariably in his resurrection form, has walked through the walls of the tomb out into the garden. Now, that shouldn't surprise us. He disguises his appearance when he's walking with those two men to the road on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection. He was able to disguise what he looked like, so that shouldn't surprise us. He shows up in the upper room. The doors were locked. The 11 were there in fear, and yet he showed up in the very midst of them. This is what he does. He goes where he wants to go. He does what he wants to do. No barriers, no walls, no stones stand in his way. This is Jesus. And if Jesus can walk through walls, he can change us. There are all kinds of barriers that keep us from being all that God wants us to be. We put up walls of guilt. We put up walls of shame. We put up walls of self-centeredness. We put up walls of fear. We put up walls of doubt. We put up walls of sin. Jesus doesn't care about your walls. He walks right through them to get to you. He can destroy every wall, every barrier, every excuse, every hindrance that is keeping you from a vibrant, revived life with Him if we will only let Him. He wants to change you. Amazing fact number 3. His best friends still don't get it. This amazes me. In the resurrection account that Luke gives us another perspective. He says in chapter 24, he says, "In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men," talking about those angels that were there, "said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again?' Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to be to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself, 'What had happened? What happened?'" They didn't get it. What? The women were looking for a dead man where there was no dead man. They still didn't get it. The men don't believe the nonsense that the women were saying, even though Jesus had told them the nonsense was exactly what was going to happen. They didn't get it. Peter, all right, he goes in, sees the grave clothes, bloodied, stained, empty, laying off to the side. I wonder what happened. He still doesn't get it. They had spent 3 years with Jesus. Practically every moment of every day had been spent with Jesus. And they still didn't get it. That's amazing to me. I'm so glad to know that even when we don't fully get it, He can change us. Jesus, can you really change me? Yes, I can. Jesus, can you really forgive me? Yes, I can. Jesus, can you really use me? Yes, I can. Jesus, do you really love me? Yes, I do. But I don't understand it all. That's okay. You don't have to. My faith is so weak. That's okay. I can work with that. I've been so hurt. Yes, and so have I. How do I know what's true? I am the truth. Even when we don't get it, He still can change us. Amazing fact 4. Everyone kept saying, "Don't be afraid." That's amazing to me. The angel says to the women who came to tend to Jesus' body, "Do not be afraid." Jesus tells the women who came to tend to His body, "Do not be afraid." I've read authors that claim that "fear not" or "don't be afraid," whichever way you want to go with that, is the most common commandment in the Bible. And I think that may be true. It makes sense because God knew that even the bravest among us would go through fear. And He knew how debilitating fear would be for us. He gets us. He made us. And even when we're afraid, He can change us. Whether that fear is from outside causes or the fear that we've created within ourselves, He can take that fear, wipe it away, and change us. He can give us courage where we have none. He can give us strength when we're all tapped out. He can give us patience when we're at the end of our rope. When the greatest battle is within us, He can change us. The one who rose from the dead is alive today. Can I get an amen? Amen. And He can change you forever. Jesus' resurrection paves the way for eternal life of everyone who will who will ever live on this planet. It's just a matter of following him. If you're active on social media, every Good Friday that I, you know, for the last several years, you'll see lots of folks will post the familiar sermon, "It's Friday, but Sunday's Coming," by Reverend Lockridge. I love listening to Reverend. I mean, there's different versions, but it's all basically the same message. It all leads to the same, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." And I love listening to his booming voice and the great reminder that regardless of how bleak Friday is, Sunday's coming. Regardless how desperate and destitute Friday with Jesus hanging on a cross is, regardless of how bleak that is, Sunday's coming. It's a great. If you've never listened to it, look it up. It's wonderful. Well, Betsy and I were driving from Miami to Tampa, and we were listening to The Message, the Christian contemporary station on Sirius XM. And I don't know, sometimes I miss things, you know, but a Zach Williams song came on that I just personally hadn't heard. I don't think I'd heard before. It debuted last year. I don't know how on earth I could miss a Zach Williams song because he's like, you know, the most famous person in the world right now. But somehow I missed this song. Undoubtedly, the inspiration for this song is Reverend Lockridge's powerful sermon. So I'm going to read you the words for that song, because I'm convinced that the words to his song, the words from the Gospels, the words from a resurrected Jesus are the exact message that you need to hear today. You need to hear this message. It's not my message, not Zach's message. It's Jesus' message. You need to hear this message today about the change that God wants to bring into your life. And if you don't, if you're like, "No, I'm good, Rick. I'm close to Jesus. My life, great." You know somebody who needs this change. You know somebody who needs this message. It is a message of revival. It is a message of resurrection. It is a message of change that is desperately needed by this world today. I'm going to invite the band just to come on back out, because I'm going to read this and then I'm going to be done. All right, so they can come on, get in place if they're even listening. I don't know, whatever. All right, there they are. Scott's always, he's my friend. So anyway. The song's called "Sunday's Coming." And some people in the early service today, 8 o'clock service, were mouthing it. So I knew that some of them already knew it. But here's the words to Zach's song. When your week feels like a beatdown and you can't tell the night from day, and you're tired of fighting battles when all you feel is pain, oh, it's a heavy weight. There's hope on the horizon because the cross was not the end. Let joy come in the morning. And child, lift your head. Don't you give up yet. Keep on holding on. There's going to be a breakthrough. Keep on holding on. Don't stay buried in that grave. If he can roll the stone, he can send the darkness running. Might feel like Friday, but your Sunday's coming. It might feel like Friday, but your Sunday's coming. So let your soul start singing and dry those tear-stained eyes. There's a new life and you can breathe in. You're going to see the light on the other side. Keep on holding on. There's going to be a breakthrough. Keep on holding on. Don't stay buried in that grave. If he can roll the stone, he can send the darkness running. Might feel like Friday, but your Sunday's coming. It might feel like Friday, but your Sunday's coming. For the mamas praying for their family, your Sunday's coming. For the daddies struggling to make ends meet, your Sunday's coming. And if addiction's bringing you to your knees, your Sunday's coming. Oh, if anybody here wants to be set free, your Sunday's coming. Keep on holding on. There's going to be a breakthrough. Keep on holding on. Don't stay buried in that grave. If he can roll the stone, he can send the darkness running. Might feel like Friday, but your Sunday's coming. It might feel like Friday, but what? Your Sunday's coming. I love that simple, profound reminder. It's not just Sunday that's coming. It's your Sunday that's coming. Jesus died for you. Jesus rose from the dead for you. Jesus can forgive you. Jesus can change you. Jesus can help you. Jesus loves you. Your Sunday is today. He is risen. He is risen. We always offer a time of response at the end of our services. And I think this response today, I mean, it's the same every week, but I want to specifically say it's for basically for two groups of people here today. There's that group that's already a follower of Jesus. You've already confessed your faith. You've already been baptized into him. And today, I promise you, and maybe you come to me later and say, no, not for me, whatever. There's some change he wants to work in your life. If you're a follower of Jesus, I guarantee there's something in your life he wants to change. Maybe it's some fear that you have, or maybe it's some doubts that you have, or some uncertainty that you have, or some sin that you're struggling with, or an addiction that you're struggling with. There's some change he wants to work in your life. And today, during this time, as our service comes to a conclusion, as we continue worshiping together, turn, give him that change and say, Lord, change me today. You have promised it in your scripture. You rose from the dead. You walked through walls. Change me. Give him your life today to change. If you are outside of Christ and you've never confessed your faith in him, you've never been baptized with it, you've never decided to follow him, do it today. Come find me here as we're worshiping. Come find me in the hallway afterward. Come find me tomorrow. Come find me on Friday. I don't care. But come find someone who loves Christ and loves you. And they will see that you make the most important decision in all your life to follow Jesus Christ. Every one of us have a decision to make today. Let's make that decision together as we worship together. Let's stand.